This is Steve Sherlock with another internet radio show, our podcast number 185 in the series for Franklin Matters. This recording shares the Economic Development Subcommittee meeting held on Wednesday, December 4, 2019. One item was on the agenda for this session, the high school student proposal on public plastic waste reduction. Yes, this is the revised proposal name, as this is the first step to address the plastic shopping bags. Then, as time and resources permit, address other plastic-related items. With a new town council elected in November 2019, there was a slight reorganization of this subcommittee. Councilor Matt Kelly is no longer a member, and he has been replaced by Councilor Andy Bisanti. Councilor Melanie Hamblin is now chair for this subcommittee. Councilors Glenn Jones and Eamon McCarthy Earls remain as members. On the one item for the discussion, after going round in discussion, the measure was voted to bring forward to the town council for the December 18 meeting. The vote to do so was 3-1, with Earls voting no. The meeting itself runs approximately 38 minutes, so without further ado, here is the session.
Okay, good evening, everybody. This first? That first? All right, this is a meeting of the Franklin Town Council Subcommittee under the open meeting law. The subcommittee is a separate public body from the town council. Therefore, unless the town council has separately noticed and posted its own meeting, councilors who are not members of the subcommittee will not be permitted to speak or otherwise actively participate at this meeting, although they may attend and observe. This prohibition is necessary to avoid the potential for an open meeting law violation. Okay, so. Good evening, everyone. It is 6:03, and I would like to open the December 4th meeting of the Economic Development Committee, Subcommittee. Right?
Yep.
Okay. Tonight's agenda is the plastic bag ban proposal. This meeting may be recorded, and it is, and probably live tweeted at the same time. No?
Yeah,
no?
Say.
Okay, good. No live tweets tonight. Very good. Okay, so I just wanted to do a quick introduction for Councilor Bisanti, since he wasn't here for the past three meetings we had. And we had three meetings with a group from the high school about the plastic bag ban proposal. And it was in June, August, and October.
I was in the audience one.
Okay.
You were?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Right? So we kept asking them to do more things, and they kept coming back with more stuff. And then we asked them to talk to more business owners, and also to make a table of how this proposal differs from the proposal that was a few years ago that went in front of the town council.
A lot's happened since then, too.
Yep. And so here we are, but in the meantime, Medway has passed the plastic bag ban. Millis has passed the plastic bag ban, and the Senate has passed a bag ban.
Yep.
Right?
That is correct.
So I think what we'll do is we'll have the students who want to ban the bag, give their update, and then we'll go to Jamie.
Right.
Okay?
All right, so basically in the meantime, since our last meeting, what we did was draw up how our proposal compares to the state proposal. So we have it in a chart. I only have one copy, unfortunately, but I can pass it down. The differences are mainly just that this is going to be in our town. So for example, the state one is municipalities may determine route of enforcement, and we said enforced by town administrator's office, things like that. But the one big difference as far as the actual law is the temporary harm waiver, which I feel like we've talked a lot about, but that's just that a business can apply to keep their plastic bags for, I think it's a 3-month period past the ban point, just so they can phase them out. We just added that because we want to think of, you know, the business owners in our town and provide more options for them, so the transition period is easier for them. Do you guys want to?
Sure.
The other thing we did was we were asked to think about ways we could rephrase the name of it, because a ban is never, people don't like to hear the word ban. So right now we're thinking the Town of Franklin Plastic Waste, and now I'm blanking, but.
Solid waste?
the plastic waste
reduction
plan. Thank you. Okay. So yeah, the plastic waste reduction plan. That's what we're thinking as of right now.
Okay. You have any questions? No. Any questions you got? You have one?
Just one.
Okay.
So during your recent research or changing of what you have here and others, did you guys have an opportunity to read the draft of the Senate proposal that had been gone through? This is it here. What did you think?
Well, really our only difference, as I said, was the temporary harm waiver, so.
Right, but what did you think of the legislation itself? Did you think it was suitable to meet the needs and means of what we're trying to accomplish?
I mean, I would say yes. I guess I can't speak for everybody, but I think it, you know, our main goal is just to make a little step towards reducing plastic waste, as the title suggests, and I think it does make that step.
Okay. So have you noticed, I've tend to notice, I mean, besides the fact that everyone really has been making good initiatives on bringing their reusable bottles with them, but I've also noticed that Dunkin' Donuts, Starbucks, most stores that sell coffee and or goods are now moving over to plastic goods and doing away with styrofoam, as well as even pushing away from the plastic cups and stuff. It's nice to see that they're making some forward progress in these initiatives.
I very much agree.
So, and I think the state's dominating with some excellent, my phone had to tell me what words it was. Like queued up a little bit. I think the state's made a good proposal. Anyways, sorry, Jamie.
You're the floor.
Thank you. I do have one question about the plastic. So the plastic waste reduction is the new title of it. Do you have any plans that maybe it would incorporate more than just bags?
We did not make that plan for this proposal, right, to be honest.
Just like thinking like, okay, so this is one step.
Yeah, right? That is definitely our first thought. But with the Senate passing that law, we could look at, I don't know, I think if we were to make any other propositions, it would be in a different
Anyway, Andy?
Through the chair.
Yes.
So the way I was reading it the other night, they're still gonna be using plastic for fish and meats, and this is just for groceries.
Right.
Thin film plastic shopping.
Right. Yeah.
And when does it take effect?
It's a year after I believe that's what it says on the.
And the draft will take effect after the effective date.
Yes.
In the
state.
The
state.
State.
Yeah. So you guys are proposing, based on what I read here, that it's a year plus 3 months. So right. You're looking to give them.
It's a year, and then a business has to apply for the 3 months.
Okay.
The only difference, I think, is that we were, thank you, Madam Chair, I think what we were considering was was 2 3-month waivers to apply.
Yeah.
So I think that's the one difference. I mean, you know, but I think that what we've seen is a lot of businesses have already done it. Folks that were here 3 years ago, which I know at least two of you were, you know that we sent out mailings to all of our licensees in town, including the grocery stores and the pharmacies and other retail outlets before those hearings at the council at that time, and we didn't have any of those businesses show up because I think when you look at the marketplace, if you're a Shaw's or a Stop and Shop or BY in another community that's implemented this, you already have the business model in front of you, and so they just apply it to they see the writing on the wall that this is happening. So,
I was just curious to learn a little bit more about the proposed $100 penalty for a third violation. This each day is a separate violation. So would that be who would be the enforcing authority here, and what would that waiver process look like? Is there something already drafted up, or a certain department within the town that would administer that?
Yeah. So I think that generally falls on my shoulders, and then or any designee. You know, I think what we do with enforcement is we try to get compliance first. And we really have a great experience with that in Franklin. I mean, a lot of businesses, you know, particularly relative to liquor licensing, I mean, you see a lot of compliance. Other communities have far worse problems than we do. That's because our department had to stay on top of it. I believe the state law would request that out of the town, where there's some, there'll eventually likely be some process through DEP, is my educated guess, is that through DEP, we would have to have a designee at the local level, which would likely be myself and or whoever I designated, probably the building commissioner or somebody like that.
You can add to Brutus's many hats and make him the Palmer Warden too.
No. He's got too many hats these days. But we would have to talk about that as a staff and make the right decision and let folks know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Ready? Yeah. Glenn?
Go ahead. So as part of my understanding, and I know that Senator Spilker was kind of key in also helping to move forward the waste reduction bill that was geared toward shopping bags at the state level. One of the things that they had proposed, or as part of their legislation, was a total of a 10-cent fee, 5 cents of which would go towards the cost of the bag, 5 cents would go towards what again, Jamie, for clarification?
So the 10-cent fee that you're referring to, Councilor Jones, is that through the state law, the businesses are mandated to offer some other alternative than plastic bag. I think the 5 cents is that if a business does, in the state law, if a business does decide to continue to use plastic bags, they have to pay the state 5 cents per bag. I have no idea how that will be enforced. Like any law, it takes a very long time to implement, settle in, transition. That's just the nature of how it works. Mm-hmm. So I'm unclear exactly how they're going to collect that money. But I would venture there may be some businesses out there that maybe, you know, just simply don't use a lot of bags. And maybe, you know, maybe they're willing to just pay that 5 cents to the state, you know, per bag. I don't know. But that's a little bit different than what we had in our local bylaw, obviously. We wouldn't be paying the Commonwealth 5 cents per bag, right? You know, we were, I think, discussing at one point different options about other bylaws. I think Councilor Lewis brought it up about, you know, other communities charging people 5 cents. When you go through the checkout line, if you forgot all your bags and you have to use a plastic one or a paper one, you have to charge 5 cents. But that's not the case with the state law. 5 cents goes to the Commonwealth.
Interesting. Have they had designation as to what specifically that would be geared towards the
money? I don't believe so. Likely it would just go to the general fund.
Of course.
Yeah. Makes sense to you. Or maybe they'd use it like they do a lot of times, like when they had the discussion about the soda tax on large, you know, soft drinks, which never passed. That money, you know, would then go to public health programs relative to. You know,
so basically, to put it in a nutshell, the first 5 cents is to offset the cost of to the expenses of the people.
That's
supplying
right.
them 5 cents is basically a fee if you don't.
That's right.
Purpose.
That's right.
Those bags.
That's
interesting.
Correct.
So interesting.
Maybe there may be a metric out there. I don't know how the discussion came about, but maybe there are communities out there that have, you know, just a general store. You know, remember when we get past Worcester, we're talking about communities that have only 1,000, sometimes, you know, smaller populations. They have a general store. You know, maybe they don't. You know, maybe they're just going to say, you know what, it's a better alternative financially for my business to just pay the 5 cents because I don't use a lot of bags than it is to go through all this hoopla of providing an alternative bag, which may be more expensive for my general store out in, you know, Peru or, you know, Florida or Charlemont or something. So my guess is that this was all framed on a statewide basis, and I know that the objective of the Senate bill, as well as the House sponsorship, was to even the playing field. It looks like to me they did a bill and a redraft, which was on their sheet. It was a redrafted bill from what was originally filed, and that likely tells me that they had taken in a lot of feedback from legislators across the whole state. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're in the Berkshires, you have a different business clientele necessarily than in Boston, and so I think what they did was try to make something that worked for everybody. Which is why, by the way, one more quick thing. What was interesting was, in this legislation, it does prohibit the community from doing anything above and beyond what the state is doing. Actually prohibit, not only does it null and void local bylaws, and you have to repeal them off the books, but actually prohibits us from even altering our own amendments to our own bylaws. We can't even do anything different than this, than what the state did, which tells me, it's just, again, an educated guess, that they really went far and beyond to try to accommodate the feedback that they gotten from the entire state, from the Cape to the Berkshires. So those are a couple other interesting things that you know, I thought were interesting to read the bill. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My three concerns from the beginning were the were this affecting jobs. I think you heard, I don't know if you heard that when I was chair, and the seniors, and getting ahead of the curve with the state. So I think I'm satisfied on most of those issues. I can't see seniors being that affected. I don't think the plastic industry is going to go upside down over this. And obviously, we're not getting ahead of the curve anymore. So I'm satisfied on those three issues. But I would like to be walked through a model, because I actually kind of did, my wife and I did an impromptu shopping at Shaw's the other day. We didn't have our bags. We do the bag thing, okay? So we have the reusable bags. And I asked the bag boy, and he was surprisingly up on all this, okay? And I said, so ask me, I said, ask him, tell me what's going to happen now when we walk through and we don't have our bags. And he says, you'll have the option of the plastic and you'll just have to pay for it, which at 10 cents a bag, I don't think it's going to bankrupt us. But I'm just saying, do you have a model of what will happen in your, you know, in your scenario once this bag ban is passed? Is that basically what the bag boy just told me? Or do you want to chime in on this, Jamie? Or?
Well, we would be...
What did you envision happening in that scenario?
I think we were focusing more on a shift to, obviously our main goal is for people to bring reusable bags, but paper was also the second option,
okay.
Mm-hmm. Which I don't think we weren't going to mandate a charge on that.
I think you were finishing your question. I was just going to ask a question through the chair. So.
Andy still has the floor.
I guess I don't really have that much to add to that. There would be the paper option, and we just want people.
Or just paying for the plastic.
I don't think it would be an option for people to pay for plastic.
In the Senate law, it would.
Oh. Yeah. Well, yeah, that was never part of our proposal, but. You know, I digress some, but...
The Senate law would require, that's what the 5 cents I was mentioning.
Right, ago. That's what
if
I was...
If you decided if you were, you know, desperate. Again, a really low... if you were just a store that doesn't, you know, you just don't do a lot of bags for whatever reason, you know, you'd have to remit that to the state in terms of a 5 cent fee. I don't know how that's collected. I think, like any law, I think it'll go through some back and forth with the regulatory agencies who are in charge of this, and likely the DEP. And try to figure out a way to comply. I just can't imagine how that, I just don't know how that would happen. I'm sure they've thought it out. You know, I just don't know how that would occur.
Bottom line, Madam Chair, I'm okay with it. So I've been satisfied on my three issues.
Okay. Amen.
So essentially, that was sort of what I was going to try to clarify, because the document doesn't have too many details about the exact, it contains enforcement details, but not details about what the ban would actually look like here in Franklin. So it sounds like the ban you're proposing, which in this case would likely be superseded by the current Senate and presumably House proposal, in the current version, assuming that the Senate and House proposals do not pass, would be a full ban on the acquisition of plastic bags by customers at businesses in Franklin. Mm-hmm. Whereas if the state and Senate plans, the House and Senate plans pass, then that would instead be some kind of a 5 to 10 cent fee, depending on what's decided on Beacon Hill.
Yep. I guess what I wonder is when, like, we don't know when the House would pass it. If the Senate, if they do pass the state bill, then we would have to remove our bill. Right. So then, if it got into the town code, we would have to pay to have that removed. So that kind of worries me a little bit, since we can't, but we don't know if it's ever going to pass, right?
That's the chance. I mean, but that's what all these other towns are doing.
That's true. That's true.
Good.
Glenn.
So one of the things that we have the option to do, one is, it's more of a procedural thing. Since like the chairwoman said, where the Senate has already been passed, there's a fair chance the House will. And where their piece of legislation, for all intents and purposes, and the lack of a better term, excuse my expression, trumps the community bills, and it puts us in a sense of kind of backpedaling to pull it back out of our bylaw. One of the things we've done in the past, and one of the things that I had proposed in the past during my time on the council, was to send a piece of legislation to the state stating to them that we're in support of their legislation. So in other words, it's a goodwill effort on our behalf to put together, draft a piece of legislation saying that we as a town council in the town of Franklin and the plastic ban, bad ban committee agree, and all these people agree with the current legislation and desire that this piece of legislation move forward. It's kind of, you follow where I'm going with that? So it's not us giving in to them, saying that, okay, we're gonna throw away all our ideas, but since a lot of their ideas kind of match a lot of our own ideas, it'd be our way of saying, okay, we support you, and we would like to see that piece of legislation that you've drafted move forward as soon as possible. Does that make sense? Am I right in that sense, Jamie?
So a couple of things. I mean, I think that what you heard from these folks is, number one, just to get back to Councilor Hamlin for a minute. So in order to put a bylaw change in effect, we have to actually submit a bylaw and pay an exorbitant fee to the Milford Daily News to publish the bylaw according with state law. So we'd probably pay a couple hundred bucks, whatever the price is, to put our bylaw into the newspaper to advertise appropriately of a hearing at the council level if the EDC moved the bill there. And then the legislative session stops next July 31st. So the final decision will really rest, without getting into too many legislative details. July 31st is the last day of legislative session July 31st is the last day of the legislative session. So you'll know by July 31st next year whether the House and Senate.
This coming July 31st.
Yeah, this coming one in 7 months. If we put the bylaw hypothetically into effect in January or February, we would have to spend the money to post the bylaw fee in the newspaper, and then potentially a year from now, whenever the Senate bill and the House bill would go into effect, we'd have to reinstate another fee into the newspaper to repeal the bylaw, because it would be null and void, to actually repeal the bylaw out of the town code. So I think what Councilor Jones was referencing was the possible idea, if everybody was in agreement, of having the town council potentially on the next agenda, I think is what Councilor Jones was recommending, was on the next agenda there would be a resolution stating that the town council would take a vote to support the Senate bill, which also has a lot of House co-sponsors, to incentivize and at least let our state representative at a minimum know, Jeff Roy, where this legislative body stands. And so we're not kind of cross-firing here and doing a little bit too much to then have to go back and undo what we just did. But I think what a lot of legislative leaders want to see, and I think why you see movement on this, is just like the ban or the prevention of 21 and over for tobacco products, is they want to see 100, 125, 150, 160, whatever the numbers. They want to see a lot of communities support this, right? And so by doing these local bylaws, that's a way to support it. You know, now that we have the Senate bill is actually approved virtually unanimously, I would venture to believe, and I can't speak for certainly the House of Representatives, but you know, I think it would certainly you know, let Jeff, our state representative, know where the town of Franklin's legislative body stands without possibly putting in a bylaw and then have it null and void and then have to repeal it down the line. So that's an alternative option that I think Councilor Jones was just putting forward if folks were amenable to that. And that would be, you know, up to you guys about whether you want to put something like that forward. But that's just another alternative.
This is both a question and then a statement. you know,
the latter.
So in the case of a resolution by the town council, that would be much less expensive in that case to post in the Milford Daily News or publish it.
That's therein. Correct. It would just simply be a resolution. It wouldn't require a bylaw posting at all.
And I suspect that for us, you know, as we look toward this being likely to pass item of legislation up on Beacon Hill, that would probably ultimately be a net savings, even if it's only several hundred dollars, but several hundred dollars in the grand scheme of things is still several hundred dollars. I think it's an interesting chance to potentially signal that we want a comprehensive state plan instead of this patchwork constellation of local measures that are very complicated for businesses to deal with and are very challenging from a compliance and regulatory standpoint. So I think Councilor Jones has a really good idea there with proposing that.
Thank you, Councilor Earls. Yeah, let's go out to the audience.
Do I get to say something?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I was just thinking, and I think you guys wanted a ban on plastic bags. You didn't want, so is there any way to encourage the state to not have a fee for plastic bags? Reduction, just the ban on plastic bags versus, I know it's pie in the sky, but you know, many of the towns already are banning plastic bags. Mm-hmm. Like, so if the state, you know, if they are encouraged to change their bylaw, whatever it's called, the bill, to ban the plastic bags. Like, that's what the younger generation wants.
Right.
And what many states are going for, the proactive ones. Instead of getting this loose, you can buy a plastic bag. Have it be a strong bill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Going off of what she mentioned, I guess I don't know a lot about sending a resolution, so this is a genuine question, but could we include something like that, just like a statement supporting that in the resolution?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Jones.
In response to your questions, the resolution is simply nothing more than a statement.
Right.
It is a statement of support.
Mm-hmm.
There are always things that can be written in the statement that reflect either a negative or a positive reflection on what the current legislation has been proposed and or already passed, with the goal of ultimately stating our position on it. It would ultimately be a bill. It would be a resolution in support. We don't usually send resolutions saying we hate something. we talk to them directly when we do stuff like that. But it would ultimately be a general positive reflection on behalf of the town of Franklin to the House of Representatives, supporting the House bill. There are always statements that can be added in as part of that statement letter to the House of Representatives that say, we would, however, like to look at the potential of just forgoing the taxes, fees, and just doing away with bags altogether. That's all, again, it's all about the wording of something that would have to be discussed amongst us as to what exactly that wording would be. We could sit with the town administrator, who's very in our town attorney, and put together a really nice draft of what our actual statement is. Now, I do, just my personal opinion, I do agree with you. I think that if you're going to ban something, just freaking ban it. You know, it's like, why
exactly.
Why skirt the issue? You know, it's like, just do it.
Yeah.
And the extra I understand the 5 cents in support of offsetting the cost of either, you know, the cost to the employee or employers, etc. But the 5 cents for non-compliance into a general fund seems a little quirky to me.
And so many of the towns have already passed
right.
No plastic.
Right,
bags,
without
so
the extra fees.
Without, like, just
right. And there, we get that. And so, but yes, to answer your question, yes, we can write a statement that reflects an opinion.
Hi, my name is Carol O'Neill. I'm getting more involved in the political, aspect of Franklin's community service. I would just like to know, how many years total has Franklin been working on this banning of paper? Okay, so like, you want to know something? What, am I going to be dead first? Okay.
Exactly.
Seriously, okay? Let's get our mind out of wherever it is, I'm not going to say, and just do it, because I'm here for my kids, and they're in their 30s, and I'm here for my grandchildren who are under 4. please, okay, don't look at somebody like me and say, wow, she don't care, because guess what, I do, and I'm tired of all of this pussyfooting around.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Go to the chair. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ms. O'Neill. I'm not in agreement with my colleagues on the EDC right now. This could languish at the state level for who knows how long. Although all the other towns have moved forward, I'd like to think I've always been part of a very proactive council in EDC. The other towns have passed it. Maybe we can put the total ban on the on our own language. I don't think $200 here or $200 there to rewrite the resolutions is going to bankrupt this town. I'd like to see our own ban passed in our own wording, and if we have to rewrite it, so we rewrite it, so we redo the resolution. So what? We just pass our own bag ban. I've been watching the social media. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's in favor of it. These young people, I have to give them kudos, they haven't given up. I know a lot about not giving up, and I like the fact that they, I mean, I went toe-to-toe with them 4 years ago, and you know, we tabled it.
It was
probably a whole other generation. But I'm just saying, let's get this over with. It's polar, and I don't think like things that polarize towns and polarize communities. I want this done. I'd like to see it done at least on my tenure this time. So I say we go forward with it. Let's get it over with and do it in our own language. I don't know what the hell the other towns did it. I haven't read their language. I haven't read their rhetoric, but I say we get it over with. I'd like to get it done with this EDC.
Thank you, Councillor. I just wanna say that I don't necessarily believe that the state will pass it either. Mm. Right? I don't want to see you'd be able to spend 5 cents and get a plastic bag. I think it should be here's a paper bag. You can pay 10 cents for it. So I'm totally torn in half, right? I want to have our own ban. I think we're a green community here in Franklin, right? You know, all the other communities around us have already banned plastic bags, but we haven't done it yet, right?
I was hoping we'd get it done.
so that's where I am, right? Okay, so we have to weigh this. Like, do we wait to see if the House ever really passes it, or do we just do our own?
Madam Chair, what I heard from the State House just it put my other fears away. I mean, I think that was an incentive for this town to go forward with our own language. So be it. If we have to rewrite a couple of resolutions, I don't think that's going to be the end of the world. That's what our town council is for. So.
Right. And one of the things that the state plan says is that they trump everybody's, right?
If they ever do it.
So we would have to change it to what's there if we do.
We'd have to just basically remove ours.
Right.
There's superseded.
And Madam Chair, right, what if they like our language better than their language?
Right.
I mean,
Councilor Jones.
Thank you. Okay. Just for the sake of time and just for the sake of getting some of this moving forward, if we already got the statement thing out of the way, if we wanted to agree to go on a statement, that's what it would take. However, as of tonight, where do we stand with having some solidification into what we want to see at a town level? So if we wanted to have something in writing tonight, are we 100% comfortable with what's already been written in our current draft?
Well, you know, we came in here, well, first 4 years ago, looking for a ban. We came again looking for a ban. I think that's what we all want. Not to speak on everyone's behalf, but yeah. Do you agree with me? I mean, that's what we came for. So yeah, that's what I would like to see. As far as the actual exact language of the bylaw, can't say I've studied it recently, but.
I think the language that has been there achieves what they've been trying to all do. I think they make their point. They're trying to ban the bag, the specifics and the details. There really aren't a lot of details. We've discussed the waiver process. I think the only difference that they can highlight between really the state law and our proposal is that we were offering 2 3-month waivers as opposed to the 1 3-month waiver, you know, that's a pretty de minimis. By the time those waivers, if you were able to vote tonight to move on the ban the bag bill, or we'll retitle it about reductions. You know, if we can retitle it and get it to the council on the 18th of December, and you take the first vote then, and you go into January and take the second vote then, by the time all of that first year and you're into the second waiver or the first waiver, you'll know where the state law stands for this legislative session.
Right.
So I think, you know, I think the two waivers versus one,
I'd like to make
a motion. I'm just saying, it's like flip a coin and probably pick one.
I'd like to make a motion to move this to, Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion to move this to a council meeting.
Second.
Good.
All in favor? Signify by saying aye.
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 No. Three yeses and one no.
Okay.
So there you go. So basically what just happened, I'm sorry.
Right.
Pardon me. Basically what just happened is with a sub-council's approval, this draft of legislation will go forth to the full council for a public hearing so that we can have the public kind of get in their say and two cents on what they think of the particular draft, because the public has the right to say anything they want in regards to it. It's everyone's right to speak on behalf of anything that we propose to the full council, as well as the council has the option of making any full discussion or comment. That's the beauty of it. And you guys will actually also have the opportunity to make further presentations in regards to this as well, so that not only the council has an opportunity to see what your presentations are, but the public does. Mm-hmm.
Clerk, graduate discussion.
Okay, clerk discussion. Okay.
One last quick enforcement. So what I'm gonna try to do is I'm gonna work with the town attorney to prepare a bylaw. The way it works is they'll have a first read. They have two readings, just for the folks here to pay attention. So there'll be a first reading on December 18th, and then we'll have to wait to see what that is before there'll be a second.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't want to get ahead. You know, let the full council debate it and whatnot. But we'll put it on for the December 18th agenda. 7 o'clock, right?
All right.
Perfect. And also
thank
just
you so
guys,
much
just to let you know, also, sorry I didn't mention it.
It doesn't. Just took it from
you. Stuff just blurts out of my head when I think of technical things. Excuse me, may I?
Okay. Sure.
It doesn't mean it's gonna pass council. Too. That's another thing that you have to be prepared for. Is that just because it's just we've vetted it through subcommittee. Doesn't mean it's going to pass council. In fact, there could be councilors that might think just making a statement might be suitable, whereas others might think that we should move forward with the ban. This is your now full opportunity to make your argument and your presentation to the full council and give your logic and your reason as to why. So now you get to go to the full stage.
Yeah.
All regale. Thank you.
Don't worry, I'll be good.
Motion
to adjourn.
This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. And through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.